Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's murder on the dance floor. You better not kill the groom, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house right down. Oh, I know. About your.
I'm happy to take your call. It's another Brain Purge show, so whatever's on my mind, I'm just going to let go and ramble. And via my mouth and also via music. So however I'm feeling will be expressed through the music as well as through my words. So if you have anything to say, feel free to call in and let me know. Whatever you want to say is fine with me, as long as it's not rude. Anyway, I will be back after this.
before. You look familiar. You wanna dance? Yeah.
Okay, welcome back to the show. If you want to call in tonight, the number is 323-843-6160. What's going on with me? What's on my mind? Well, it turns out that Perez Hilton just had a baby. Perez Hilton, the internet blogger, the gossip that used to draw penises on people's faces, mostly celebrities with cum coming out of them or whatever, on his website, who is now... you know, turning over a new leaf in his life, apparently. He used to be very fat and now has lost all of his weight, is very thin and trying to get buff, and actually has now adopted a, or not adopted, but I think he had it through artificial insemination, through a surrogate, his own child. So now Perez Hilton is a father, which is kind of hard to believe. I mean, the man is not the most, I mean, when you think about father material, he's not exactly who you would think of, at least not me. He's certainly not somebody that I find to be a dad. But, you know, that's just it. You don't really know somebody until you know them. And he may be, like, the most nurturing guy in the world. Who the fuck knows, right? Regardless, he's got his own kid now. And a lot of gays are having their own children these days. I hope to have my own in a couple years. My plan has been to have a kid at 40. I'll be 40 in 3 years or 2.5 years. And my husband and I plan to have a kid then. I haven't decided if we're going to do adoption or artificial insemination, because the artificial insemination route is extremely expensive, or the surrogacy route, I should say, because one has to actually pay not only for all the medical bills of the woman having the kid, but on top of that, about $30,000 to $40,000 for their fee. On top of that, all the in vitro fertilization fees, all the legal fees. So, I mean, it really adds up. Usually it's about $100,000 per kid. And that's only if they're successful in having the kid and if they're successful in getting pregnant the first time. So if they're not, then, you know, it's like 1.5 times that if you have to take 2 times to get pregnant or whatever. So anyway, it's like a really huge fucking deal to have a kid that way. But hopefully we hope to have one. I'd like to have a kid that is my own, like, DNA. I mean, ideally, that would be ideal for me. And not because there's anything wrong with adoption, and that's something we're certainly considering. But I really want, sort of to see my own genetic gene pool be reproduced, because it's a good one. I mean, I've got lots of people in my family I've got some intelligence in my family. I've got some beauty in my family, a lot of it, and a lot of really wonderful, big-hearted people in my family. And I'd love to have those kind of traits passed down. And also, because you know what you're getting when you have a kid, generally speaking, that is your own, genetically, as opposed to someone else's kid that, you know, you adopt. You have no clue what they're going to be like. But that doesn't mean you don't have the same experience of loving them and sharing your nurturing and your love for the child, or that you don't have any kind of connection. I'm sure you do form a connection, and I'm certain that that's something that would happen with me as well. I just ideally would like to have a kid that's actually my own genetically, because then nobody can take it away from me ever, no matter what. And there's never any, like, illegitimacy of the whole thing, you know, because they're always going to be my kid. So it's really things like that. I don't want any kind of, I don't know, because people already look at gays who have kids as being weird, or not people in general, but I mean people who are bigoted or whatever, as kids, you know, being strange, or it's a strange thing for two men to have a kid, or two women to have a kid, or raise a kid, which of course is ridiculous. But I mean, I was raised essentially by two women, because even my mother and my grandmother, they're not lesbians, but I mean, and there's lots of people who are raised by fathers and uncles and aunts and cousins and grandmothers and grandparents or whatever that are not the quote-unquote traditional family unit of a father and a mother and, you know, the kids. I mean, honestly, that's becoming more and more rare these days to have that kind of a family unit intact. It's very, very rare, actually. Most people these days are completely either they're single parents, you know, typically a single mother with a child because the father's abandoned them, or they've gotten divorced or whatever, or they're multi-generational households where you have the kids, you know, the kids of the parents or whatever, and then the grandparents live with them or whatever. So, I mean, there's so many different types of families that exist today that, and plus it's not even, you know, what makes a family is a question, I guess. You know, what does make a family? Is it blood? No, I don't think it is blood, because I have people I consider family who have nothing to do with me genetically. I think that what makes a family is the love and the devotion and respect and those kinds of things that come along with being part of a family. I mean, you form a family, and a lot of people, especially gay people, have to ultimately make their own families, because a lot of gay people are disowned from their own families or estranged from their families and are not don't have a family at all a lot of the time, because they're kicked out when they're 16 years old because they're gay or whatever the case may be, or when they're 12 or even. I mean, and there's lots of kids on the street who are gay because they've been kicked out of their households just because of who they are. And they have to find and form their own families ultimately, as opposed to depending upon the family that they were born into. And it's sad because people, unfortunately, don't really take into consideration what is important about a family, what makes it. And people just think, oh, you have to be blood related. Well, that's not true. And that's why I'm okay with adoption, because I know that just because of the child I have, you know, if I end up adopting, which is probably the route I'm going to end up going because of the costs, like I said, are prohibitive to go the other direction. If we end up adopting, then I know that I will love that child just as if it were my own. There's no doubt in my mind. I just have a thing about people taking things away from me. Because that child, although we may form a very deep bond and we're just like father and son or father and daughter, and I raise him or her all through adulthood, there's always going to be a time probably that child's going to want to see their biological parents to understand where they come from biologically, which is a totally natural thing to want to know where you come from biologically. Anybody would want to know that. But then, you know, a lot of times what happens is when they get older and they go looking for their parents. And if the parent, if the reunion is a positive one, where the parent wants to actually have them in their lives, and they become close to them, and then you're sort of left in the wings, even though you raised them and you are their parent for every intensive purpose, you still lose them in some sense, maybe not completely, to their original parent who abandoned them for one reason or another when they were a child, which may have been for their best interest. But so that's the kind of thing that I want to prevent from happening, or I want to prevent from experiencing myself. I don't want to have to go through that kind of heartache, because I know myself, and it would be very, very heart-rending for me. It would break my heart. It really, really would. So I'm hoping that, you know, that if I do go the adoption route, if we do, that doesn't happen. And honestly, I mean, most of the time, I think most adoptive children don't, even if they go searching out for their biological parents, they probably don't actually intend to necessarily form a great attachment to their biological parents. They just want to know who they were and, you know, see the similarities or whatever. And most of the time, that kind of thing doesn't happen anyway. But it does happen occasionally, so I'm trying to prevent that from happening. Anyway, so if you have something to say about this or anything else, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'll be right back.
I can't tell, falling in love with my funky friend.
Kay, welcome back. The number to call in is 323-843-6160. Welcome back to Brain Purge. Tonight we're talking about whatever's on my mind, whatever's on your mind, whatever's in the news, whatever kind of music we want to hear. So feel free to let me know. Did you guys hear about the whole sinkhole thing in Florida? There was a guy or a house in Florida where there were people inside, and apparently the house just started sinking. Like the whole part of the one side of the house just sunk into the ground, and a bedroom or something. And the guy died and is still in there because they can't get to him. And apparently, sinkholes happen just for no reason. I mean, they happen because of the rainwater or something dissolved the limestone under the soil, and then it just collapses. So that's pretty fucking scary. Your house can just fucking sink, I mean, for no fucking reason. Anyway, pretty fucking weird. I mean, can you imagine you're lying in bed and all of a sudden you find yourself under, you know, 20 feet of mud and you drown? I mean, it's bad. I mean, it's not a good thing, so I think it's sad. But anyway, but I guess it happens mostly in places like Florida where there's a lot of rain and a lot of marshy kind of, you know, soil or whatever. Fortunately, don't think we have that here, because we don't have, we're, you know, in Dallas we're landlocked, so we don't really have a lot of issues with sinkholes, but whatever. Anyway, I was going to mention something. You know, I was talking the other night about my friendships on BTR or whatever, and my friendships in person, and how I came across a quote that really kind of succinctly puts what I have always kind of lived my life by, or how I've fostered my friendships and how I've sort of stood up to injustice wherever I see it. But, you know, people feel that it is acceptable and okay not to stand up to bigotry or, you know, injustice or racism or whatever, homophobia, whatever it is, when they witness it. They feel that remaining silent about it is fine, and that it's not, that it's okay, and that they don't condone it or whatever. But the fact is that when you sit by and allow people to say things about other people, such as, you know, faggot or nigger or spick or kike or whatever the word is you want to use, people wants to use or whatever, you know, about some, or faggot or whatever. When somebody says those things to somebody else and you're sitting there and listening to it and you're not saying anything, you're not saying that that's not okay, that's not acceptable, that's the first step. And not to do that is wrong. Secondly, to still associate with people who do that and act all, you know, well, it's just them, they're just funny, you know, and that kind of bullshit. And just, you know, kind of act like it's not your responsibility to do anything about it, it's fucking bullshit as well. I mean, to sit there and say, oh, I'm so sweet and innocent, and actually you're complacent, you know, or if I'm not complacent, you're complicit in the same action that they are doing themselves by saying faggot or whatever. By remaining silent, you're saying you condone what they're doing. By remaining friends with people like that, you're saying you condone it. And you can always couch it in the fact that, oh, it's just their personality, they're different than me, I don't agree with that. They have the right to say what they want to say. Sure, they have the right to say what they want to say, but you also have the right, as my friend, to not allow them to say that to me. I would do that for my friends. I do do that for my friends. When my friends have been, you know, attacked, whether physically or verbally, for whatever reason, whether it's because they're gay or a different race or whatever the case may be, a religion, I stand up for them. When someone calls them a name or says something about them, whether it's as a joke among friends or whether it's by a stranger. And I don't associate with people who do those things because I have integrity. And people who do continue to associate with people like that and act as if it's okay do not have integrity. It's pretty simple, and that's really all it is. And I do have a great deal of integrity, and it's really hard to find people in this world who do as well and also live by it. But the quote was by Martin Luther King Jr., and it was, it's not the words of our enemies that we will remember, but the silence of our friends. And that puts it very succinctly and, you know, drives the point home, and that's the truth. And so I don't believe you can call yourself a whole human being if you allow injustice to persist, or not just injustice, but bigotry, hatred, vitriolic, horrible hate speech, that kind of stuff, and you sit around and you allow it to occur, you are just as guilty as the people who say it and the words come out of their mouths or their pipes from their fingers or whatever, in my opinion. And anyone with any kind of integrity would agree with me on that. So, I that's why I don't let people like that on my show. That's why I don't let people like that, come to me and tell me that say things to me like that and say, oh, they're just being, the way they're being. Well, I don't accept that. I expect more from the people that I hang around with and the friends that I know. And I always will. So if that makes me whatever, so be it. But I am what I am. So I'm going to play some more music and we'll be back.
Kind, sweet destiny.
So we're back. Call number is 323-843-6160, or you can call in via Skype. Be sure to check me out on offlimitsshow.com, also on Twitter and Facebook as well. So be sure to like us and follow us on there if you're interested in keeping up with me. I also was talking earlier about fake friends or whatever, but I was talking about people who, well, you heard what I was talking about. You were here. But it led me to think about people who are just fake in general. And I was speaking with my therapist last week about some about that and how I just can't tolerate people who are fake, and it just really drives me crazy. And, you know, I like people who are genuine. And when I say fake, I just mean people who pretend to be something they're not, or people who are, act as if they're one way, but really their actions, or say they're one way and, you know, portray themselves one way, but actually their actions say otherwise. Those types of things drive me crazy. I just have no tolerance for it. And I was talking to her about how, you know, I've always had a good small group of really close friends and never had like a ton of acquaintances because of that, because it's easy. I mean, I can schmooze with the best of them, but I just don't like doing it because it feels fake to me. Small talk feels fake to me. Just going like, you know, talking about the weather or telling about yourself, whatever. I just like to talk about deep stuff. I like to talk about politics, religion, civil liberty, civil rights, and art, you know, culture. I love talking about things that are important to me, not just nonsense, you know. And I am all for nonsense as well. I mean, we all need a mental break occasionally, you know, like reality TV, for example. But I'm just saying that I don't like people who are fake, and it's hard for me to be anything other than myself because people will try so hard to try to pull you into that and try to kind of lasso you into their way of being about things. But I've never been that way. I've never been that way. Well, at least not since I was a very, very little young kid. And, you know, as I grew older and kind of grew into myself and liked myself and knew myself, whatever, that just changed. And I just was like, I went from being a very, you know, as a child, a very obedient kid, very well-behaved, well-mannered child. I was always well-mannered and well-behaved, really. But by the time I was a teenager, I was like, if you don't like me, fuck you. That was sort of my attitude about everything. So, and I've just always kind of maintained that because, frankly, that's just how I found is the most authentic way to live my life, is to be myself, whoever that is, and not try to fit myself into someone else's idea of who and what I should be. And I think everybody should live by that rule, even if it goes against what I think of you or what I think of someone. If someone is doing something that is contrary to what I believe is correct, that's my issue. And if they don't want to change their behavior, then they're not going to change their behavior. You can't make someone else do anything. They have to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong, or what is respectful, or what denotes integrity and what doesn't. But that's something that I pride myself on, is being someone with a great deal of integrity and someone being kind and open and honest about things, instead of someone just using people or lying or just being deceitful and, you know, just being someone you're not, just to be an asshole, whatever. I'm just someone who really is just myself. And I wasn't always that way. When I was a kid, or when I was, you know, young, and I'd say middle school, whatever, specifically, I was very, very much cared what people thought about me, and I would make up things about who I was and where I came from and things like that because I was so insecure in middle school. But something happened between middle school and high school where, as I said earlier, it just shifted. I think it was just maybe just puberty hit, and I just kind of came into myself and just decided not to fucking care anymore. And really, honestly, ultimately, no matter what you do or who you pretend to be, you are left with yourself, and that's it. No matter where you go, as they say, no matter where you go, there you are. You will always be there following right behind yourself. So your past, who you are, what you are, is always with you, and it cannot be escaped. So you might as well just be yourself and not try to pretend to be something you're not, because ultimately you'll be found out and you will be considered a fraud and a liar and blah, 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 blah. And the other side of that is, I mean, people sometimes think people are lying and they're not lying, or people are actually being someone they're not and they aren't. But people don't always know the story. So people sometimes look at things superficially instead of really digging into what's going on underneath the surface. And you have to do that too. You can't just take all people at face value, because people will always be something they're not. I mean, everybody, you know, somebody has had a bad day, for example, they still put on a happy face and smiling and going about their day. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine, even though they're not really fine. Because it's just what you do to get through society, through your day. You say you're fine, even though you're not really fine. But the truth is that, you know, it's okay to do that and to just make do. But what would happen if you told that person, I'm not fine, my husband's leaving me, or my wife's leaving me, or my son's in jail, or you know, we're having money problems, or whatever the case is, and somebody you know and trust, you know, why not do that? Why not be honest with people and see what happens and see if you can trust them? Because a lot of times people will surprise you, and you can. And, of course, a lot of times people will surprise you or may not surprise you, and you can't. They're fucking assholes, and they can't be trusted. So, yes, be careful about who you trust, and be careful about who you open your heart to, because people tend to like to stomp on people's hearts and emotions and kind of just fuck people over. It's just almost human nature, unfortunately, for people to want to do that to you. For whatever reason, it's not my nature. It's never been my nature. I've always been the opposite. I've never, ever in my life, ever, and I mean this literally, I've never, ever in my life had the impetus or desire to fuck somebody over, ever. Even when I hated somebody, I didn't go out of my way to fuck them over. I make it known that I hated them, or make it known what they did to me, or make it known that they, you know, hurt me or fucked me over, whatever the case may be. But I wouldn't go out of my way to fuck up their lives or anything. It's just not my nature to be that way. And maybe I'm a major anomaly. Most people are really just assholes. But I just am not like that. I'm just not like that. The only way I would be like that is if somebody tried to threaten me or hurt me physically or really came at me in some way. Then, of course, I would absolutely retaliate. But, I mean, generally speaking, if someone does something to fuck me over, that's not like a major issue. I'm like, okay, well, that's on them. They're a fucking asshole. What else is new? And I just move on with my business. So that's really all you can do. Because ultimately, as I said earlier, you can't change what somebody does. They are who they are. And as I said, this is a brain purge. So I'm just talking and rambling. If you want to interject, you can call in. The number is 323-843-6160. Because I'm happy to have a discussion with you as well. And I'll be right back.
Open your eyes, I see. Your eyes are open.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.